Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad taking you through this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's been a tough go of things so far in the NBA bubble in Orlando for the Memphis Grizzlies. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. Drew, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? It's been an interesting couple of weeks for me, and it sounds like it's about to get even more interesting. So it was a little disappointing to obviously see the big news yesterday, but here we are.
Here we are, Drew, and you brought up the big news there. Jaren Jackson Jr. out for the rest of the season, a torn meniscus. It's hard to kind of overstate the importance of that loss, I think, for the Grizzlies. Where do they go from here?
Well, obviously it's a loss that's crushing and concerning, not just right now, but for the future. It's not like meniscus tears are something that are uncommon in the NBA. We've seen guys tear their meniscus and come back fine. I believe Paul George tore his meniscus. Zion had a meniscus injury earlier this season. Eric Bledsoe has had meniscus surgery. So it's not like that's uncommon, but it's still concerning when it's one of your franchise cornerstones and one of the guys that you hope is a part of this young core and is going to play for the team for a long time. And so 2 weeks ago, when the bubble was just getting ready to get started and we were looking at this, we were thinking, okay, what do the Grizzlies need to do to hang on to this number eight spot and get a first-round playoff series against the Lakers that everybody's been hoping for since the middle of the season? And the Grizzlies have really been a surprise, so it's kind of been, you know, icing on top. But now the concern immediately shifts from the tone, at least here this morning, is who cares about the rest of these games? We just hope that Jaren Jackson Jr. is ready to go next season and can get back to the same Jaren Jackson Jr. that he was before.
Yeah, it's tough, Drew, because he's been, you know, and I know John Morant obviously is always must watch, and he's going to be Rookie of the Year. And he had a tough shooting night the other night, but you know, John Morant is John Morant. But Jaren Jackson to me has been just terrific for this team. I mean, it was so fun to watch Jackson and Zion go at each other. He had the huge shot late against San Antonio. He's been shooting the ball, attacking the rim, blocking shots. I feel like maybe people don't talk enough about him. You mentioned him as a cornerstone. I mean, I think those two guys could be really special together, Ja and Jaren, moving forward.
Oh, there's no question. Jaren Jackson Jr. was playing the best basketball in the bubble for the Grizzlies. And you're right, Ja Morant is always going to get a lot of that attention. And over the course of a full season, Ja Morant has been better than Jaren Jackson Jr. But I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is still extremely underrated. And I think part of the reason is because he plays in a market like Memphis, which is a small market in the NBA, the smallest market in the NBA. His 3-point shooting this year has been incredible. I believe he's one of only like four players, and one of them included Klay Thompson, to shoot 40% or close to 40% through his first two seasons from 3-point range. I mean, he's been extremely impressive, and to do that as a forward is really the future of the NBA too. And so, yeah, while Ja Morant is easily the most beloved and the player that gets the most national attention for the Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. is every bit as much a part of this team's future and core. And so when the news came in yesterday, I mean, it's not just that it's Jaren Jackson Jr. It's that within the last 2 weeks, you have a guy like Tyus Jones get hurt, who they said might be out for a week with knee soreness. Now it's been a week and he's still not back. And from being down there and watching those games in between the timeouts, he's not moving around very well. So I wouldn't expect him to be back anytime soon. And then you've got Justice Winslow, the guy who you traded Andre Iguodala for and was your big chip at the trade deadline, And now he's out for the season, too, with a hip injury. Never even played a game in a Grizzlies uniform this year. So it's just been an extremely disappointing 2 weeks for the organization. And this is the final blow. I think they're ready to – the way I put it yesterday is if this bubble experience is a Disney World ride, they're ready to get off. They're not the little kids that want to just keep going. They're done. They're done with the bubble experience.
Yeah, you mentioned it's heartbreaking for the Memphis Grizzlies, obviously, but they still do have some kind of positive, and that's Brandon Clark. And Brandon Clark has been phenomenal this year. Like, not a lot of expectations weren't on him. It was mostly on John Morant. But obviously, you know, Brandon Clark is going to be that guy that's pretty much going to play the next man up for Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, no, he's been great this year, too. Another guy that honestly could get – first of all, he could be a first-team all rookie, and then second, he, if you look at the numbers, could be at least considered for sixth man of the year, which for a rookie to do that and a guy that slipped on draft night is pretty impressive. And he's extremely efficient, extremely athletic, and he's been great this year off the bench as the sixth man. But the problem there that arises when you try to just swap the two of them is that the Grizzlies already are short on shooters. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is your best three-point shooter, and you're just your best shooter in general. And then you replace him with a guy like Brandon Clark, who has a totally different skill set and is going to catch lobs around the rim and dunk. And you sacrifice a whole lot of floor spacing, which you need to get Ja Morant the lanes to drive and do what he does best. So, yes, Brandon Clark's a very efficient player, a very talented player. But to just swap him and Jaren Jackson Jr., it's not as easy as people might think.
So what you're telling me is we're going to see more Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of Anthony Tolliver just because of his three-point shooting. And Anthony Tolliver, while he's been solid too, is not Jaren Jackson Jr. And I think that the Grizzlies fans are not thrilled to watch these last five games. They're happy their team is still playing. And don't get me wrong. The Grizzlies would still like to make the playoffs, but right now the priority is let's just get out of here healthy at this point because it's already gone. It's taken a turn for the worst.
Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian on the line with us. And, Drew, I kind of want to take a long-term approach with you here with this question. You mentioned Memphis being the smallest market in the NBA. Do you think Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and the foundation they're building here over the course – now, the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, are they enough to attract some big-name free agents to come along with them and play in Memphis and truly make them a competitor for the title in the Western Conference?
Well, I would say this. I think that the Grizzlies, in their situation, more likely than not, if you're going to win a championship, you probably need to take the Raptors route, right? You need to hire a good coach who can get the guys organized and playing well every season. You need to acquire the talent through the draft and get your team better and get your team to the point where they're on the verge of, or at least one superstar away from making that title run. And I think when you look at what the Grizzlies have in place, they've got the talent. They're just missing a scoring wing or another person, another guy that can fill it up. And so maybe you can attract that big time free agent. I seem to think that that's less likely. I think that you're more than likely going to have to either do it through the draft and make a big trade and acquire another big piece, or you just make a big trade for another superstar player. And however many years you sign that player for, you got that window to try and win a championship. I think for every small market, not just Memphis, that's probably the better plan or the better route to go. But no, of course, Memphis fans are already talking about, it'd be great if we could get Zach LaVine, or it'd be great if we could get Bradley Beal. Like, they have their eyes set on that. I just think that it might be a little bit more difficult than people might think to just sign a superstar player and put them in the smallest market in the NBA. It's just a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, Drew, when you look at these three games, and obviously, you know, Memphis is 0-3 in this bubble, but when you look at Ja Morant's performance, and obviously there's been a lot of criticism surrounding Ja Morant and how he's been performing in these three games, which I think he's performed well, but there's still parts of his game that needs a little bit elevation. So from those three games that you saw with the Grizzlies so far, what is it about Ja Morant's game that needs to be worked on to get him over that hump of the elite point guards when we talk about a Trae Young or a Damian Lillard?
Yeah, I think if you asked Ja Morant this question, he would probably look at the box score and read you his stats. He's done that a couple times already since he got down there to Orlando. The kid definitely doesn't lack confidence. That's not the problem. It's his shooting. I mean, it was a question coming into the season, and I think he was able to sort of prove people wrong a little bit. He was shooting 37% for most of the year, and that kept people honest. Now he goes down to the bubble, and I want to say he's like 1-for-16 or 1-for-11, something like that. I mean, he only made one three-pointer in the last game that they played against New Orleans, and it just happened to be the only contested one that he took the entire game. He set a career high for three-point attempts. It's his shooting. It has to improve. I think he knows that it has to improve. If he wants defenses to play him honest, he's got to be able to knock down that three-point shot at least sometimes, because right now defenders are just sagging off of him and daring him to do anything but go to the basket. And he's great at going to the basket. He still finds a way to score points. But if he really wants to be a true threat in every dimension, he needs to develop that three-point shot.
Yeah, he's better than I thought he would be as a rookie in that area, but certainly some progress still to go there. So, Drew, to wrap it up, how's bubble life been for you?
I'm back. I got back yesterday, but bubble life was very strange. I agreed to a 7-day quarantine before I went down there. And I say bubble life. I was in the bubble plus, the bubble suburbs. They gave us two options. Like, they gave us the option to go sit and you get to watch the games, but you still don't have the face-to-face interaction. But you're there and you get to experience it and see what everything is like. Or, you know, it's just so expensive to send anybody inside, in the bubble, as we've been saying. So we went for the second option, and it's just weird. I mean, I agreed to a 7-day quarantine before I even went down there. I had to take a class about social distancing and everything. I took three coronavirus tests, you know, one before I left and then two when I got down there. It's just strange because you're in a hotel with all media and camera crews, and nobody is out doing anything. Everybody is just hiding in their rooms because everyone is afraid that they're going to end up getting the virus, and it's going to be a huge waste of their time to be down there. So it's strange. It was a little boring, I got to be honest. And then when the game started, that was the fun part. And it's really weird to listen and to watch and just how quiet it gets. But there are moments in time, there are, when you watch the game, and even if it's dead silent, it's so intense, you just totally forget that the fans aren't there. So bubble life was cool. It was a little boring at times, just stuck in the hotel room. But it did feel like you were experiencing history.
Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Drew, we really appreciate you joining us, man. Thanks a lot.
Yep, anytime, guys.
Absolutely. When we come back, there's big breaking news in the world of college football. We'll react to that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.